In verse 5, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment. There's no ground for them to stand on. They are condemned. And so the sinners will not survive in the assembly of the righteous. They will have no place there. That's God's ultimate judgment. And in verse 6, Jehovah, or the Lord, knows the way of the righteous. That means God has an intimate knowledge of the way of the righteous. Whatever falls on us, whatever happens, many Christians are being persecuted. Many of you came from a country where you were in a refugee camp. Very difficult. There are Christians today who have accepted the Lord, and the next day they are beheaded. Or they were thrown in prison. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. That means he has intimate knowledge of that, and he provides for them, he sustains them, he leads them, he helps them. But the way of the wicked shall perish. They may be very prosperous today, they may be billionaires, but what about tomorrow? Their way will perish. That's a very solemn word. John 3, we have this beautiful verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, trusts in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not rejoice in the death of the sinner. He wants people to be saved. But if people refuse to be saved, they are in the company of the wicked, and they will perish. Psalm 2 speaks of the Lord Jesus again. Psalm 1, we find a picture of the Lord Jesus, his moral picture, how beautiful he is in God's eyes. And that is the picture the Lord places for us, that we would be like the Lord Jesus, that we'll learn from him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm humble. And the verse in Matthew 11. And so the Lord wants us to learn from him so that we follow the example of Psalm 1. But when you go to Psalm 2, a few words of about Psalm 2, you have four different voices in Psalm 2. That's very interesting. The first voice is this question: why are the nations in tumultuous agitation? They are in turmoil. That's true today. They will only get worse. And after the rapture, what is that? The rapture? We talked about it a little bit yesterday. When the Lord Jesus will come to take his own to himself, he will be gone in a split second. We talked about that yesterday. How wonderful, how amazing. But then the turmoil on this earth will be even worse than today. There will be tremendous turmoil. And from that turmoil, the two beasts that we talked about yesterday, Revelation 4:13, will rise. One from the sea in connection with the nations, one from the earth in connection with Israel. That's a time of turmoil. And they will bring stability in the turmoil, according to their plans. But their plans will not work long. So it will end in turmoil again. What man does will always end in turmoil. And so this verse 1 refers to that turmoil, this agitation. And also they meditate a vain thing. In chapter 1, verse 2, we saw the meditation in the right way, according to God's mind, in fellowship with God. But here is the meditation, what's on the mind of man today. They want their strong man. They want a leader. And years back, when I was a little kid, in the 50s, my father told me, there was the Prime Minister of Belgium. He said, we need a strong man, even if it is the devil will take him. That's very solemn. That's very serious. So that goes back already that time. And then you can back to the days of Hitler. They got a strong man. You go back to Napoleon. They got a strong man. You go back to Charlemagne. They got a strong man. But it was not the man of God. So God wants us to follow his agenda. And then you cannot get involved in the politics of these days. And you see, we are preparing for a new world, a new order. Not the new world order that the people want in this world. We're looking for the new world order that the Lord Jesus will bring in the millennium. We talked about that yesterday. So the kings in verse 2 of the earth, they set themselves. That means they put themselves in their position, in their strengths, in their endeavors, and they plot together, the princes or the leaders of this world, We talked about the prince of the world, of the nation that will come. There's one example, the great leaders of this earth, in contrast to the prince, the Lord Jesus. What are they plotting? They plot against the Lord. That's really what's happening today. They want a strong man, but it is really competition with God. We want to have the strong man according to God's mind. But here they are plotting against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed is really the Lord Jesus. The believers are also anointed by the Holy Spirit. We are anointed ones because we belong to the anointed one, the Lord Jesus. So his anointed is God's anointed, the one God has anointed a number of times. You remember the story of David? He was anointed by Samuel. God said to Samuel, you know, you go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem and you anoint there one of his sons that I will show you instead of King Saul. King Saul was like the Antichrist. And God said to Samuel, I want to have a different king, a king according to my heart. So Samuel went there to the house of Jesse, 1 Samuel 16, and he thought, then Samuel brought, Jesse brought in his sons, the firstborn, looks like Saul. Oh, that's him. No, God said to Samuel, it's not the outward appearance. I look in the heart. Doesn't mean that the outward appearance is not important, but God looks at the heart. And so that is what Samuel had to learn, to follow God's ideas, not man's ideas. Man's ideas is to have such a strong king, strong leader, but actually it is against God. And that it is against God is shown in verse 3. Let's break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what's happening today. People don't want to have any limitations. They want whatever they want. Go into free sex, go into whatever it is. They want to have their own way. That is really summarized here in verse 3. They cast away God's cords. God's bonds are for blessing. When God made the bond of man and woman in marriage, it's a bond. God does not want to take that bond taken away or broken. He wants to have those bonds respected for life. And that's just one example. Another bond that God gives is the matter of government. That's why Romans 13 shows that we need to be subject to the government, to the authorities. There's one exception. If the government demands something from us that is against God's order, then we can say no. That's the only exception which confirms the rule. The rule is obey the authorities. And so if there's a lady pregnant, a sister pregnant, and then the government says you have to abort that baby, then we can say no. But that's the only exception. It's just an example. We don't want to break God's bonds asunder. We don't want to throw his cords away because those bonds are for blessing. But the world doesn't see it that way. Now the second voice is God's voice. So the first voice you can say, perhaps the voice of the prophet. Why are the nations in tumultuous agitation? Or the writer of the psalm. You don't know who wrote Psalm 1 and 2. It's not indicated. Perhaps it was David, we don't know. But in verse 2, you have the second voice. He that dwells in the heavens will laugh. So that is God. God will laugh. He says, I will laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So the second voice is on behalf of God. It's not necessarily God's voice himself, but a voice on behalf of God that says, he that dwells in the heavens will laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. God sees the plotting of man, he sees what's going on, he says, that's not my business, it will not succeed. Verse 5, then he will speak to them in his anger, and in his fierce displeasure he will terrify them. That we also see in the book of the prophets, that God will come in judgment, and they will be greatly surprised. Why? Verse 6 says, why God comes in judgment? I have anointed my king upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. God's plans cannot be changed. If God has planned to have his king on Zion, no matter what, if the Muslim built the mosque there, if they say no temple, God says, I have anointed my king upon Zion. It will happen. How, we don't know. But God is going to make sure that his plans will be fulfilled. It's the hill of my holiness.